إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to begin reading from the book, well-known, important book of hadith, a deal with ahkam, legal rulings in Islam, Bulugh al-Maram, ma'al Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani. The book related to fasting, yani Kitab al-Siyam. And this book is divided, yani Kitab al-Siyam is divided into three parts. Altogether there's 55 hadith in these three parts. 27 hadith in the first part, which is really the core of what we are yani concerned with here, the legal rulings related to fasting, and specifically to Ramadan. And the second part is dealing with any voluntary fasting, different types of voluntary fast, and the third part is dealing with al-i'tikaf. And Allah knows best if we'll be able to complete all of those 55 hadith. And we have three sessions, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that we hope to be able to read through these hadith. In any case, we're going to read as many of them as we can with very, very, very brief yani discussion concerning the legal rulings that are contained in them. I want to start just briefly by reading a couple of points from the biography of the author of Bulugh al-Maram. And yani we sent it out by email, so hopefully yani some of you have received it. And you can read it in detail yani at any time. But for now, I just want to mention a few points just to introduce the author of this book, Bulugh al-Maram. It is said that his full name is Abu Fadl Shihabuddin Ahmed ibn Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Ahmed al-Kinani al-Shafi'i ibn Hajj al-Asqalani. In any case, yani he's well known by this name, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a. He was born on the 10th of Sha'ban in the year 773 of the Hijrah, yani about 700 years ago, something like that, in Egypt. And he grew up in Egypt, and he memorized the Quran at the age of 9, and then he traveled to other lands to seek knowledge. Primarily, he occupied himself with the promotion of the knowledge of hadith, and this is what he mainly concentrated upon. However, he also, yani, was well known for his knowledge in tafsir, hadith, fiqh, and in other matters. It is said that he authored more than 150 books, most of them related to the studies of hadith. And the most important of his books of hadith is the commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, which he entitled Fath al-Bari. And this book, yani, he actually wrote it, the actual commentary itself, over a period of 25 years. He was a qadi in Egypt, and then also Sham was attached to his jurisdiction for 21 years. He was the chief qadi until the year that he died in. And it is also said concerning him personally that he was humble, he was tolerant, he was patient, he was enduring. And these are qualities that we know from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are qualities of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they are qualities yani that the people of sunnah hope yani strive to try to attain. Yani the quality of humility, humbleness, and being tolerant of others, and patient and enduring. He's also described as being steadfast, prudent, ascetic, selfless, generous, charitable, and a person praying and fasting voluntarily. Yani extra prayers and fasting. On the other hand, it is said that he was said to be used to making light jokes and telling humorous rare stories. He also had good manners in dealing with all the imams of the earlier generations and the later generations, and he also had good manners with all of those who sat with him, whether young or old. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani died after the Isha prayer on Saturday, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, 852. May Allah and He reward him generously, have mercy upon him, pardon and forgive, and elevate his rank yani in the Jannah. As far as the introduction to the book, yani there's much to be said about it. He himself wrote an introduction, and I'll summarize yani what he summarized. And he wrote very briefly in his introduction to the book, after praising Allah and asking for peace and blessings on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions, he said to proceed. This is a concise book. Okay, it's a concise book. Yani, meaning that he didn't intend for it to be lengthy and detailed. He meant to just get right to the point. Yani, to make it brief and yani, to cover everything, comprising the hadith, evidence, sources. Yani, meaning the sources from which, yani, the hadith, which are the sources, the ahkam, the sources for ahkam or legal rulings. And he said, I have compiled it meticulously, meaning he gave great care to this. This is one of the greatest scholars of hadith in the history of Islam. And he said he compiled this book meticulously with care. So this, when you're reading this book, you should appreciate yani, something that has been collected by a great scholar, one of the greatest scholars of hadith in the history of Islam. He said, I have compiled it meticulously, so that the one who memorizes it excels amongst his peers. Yani the one who memorizes it. Meaning that within his intent, there was the intention that it will be brief, so that, and it will be organized and arranged in such a way that people can memorize it. Okay? And this is a reminder to us of the importance of memorization in our seeking knowledge. Memorizing the Quran. Memorizing the Sunnah. Memorizing the fundamentals, yani sciences of Islam, whether in tafsir or hadith or fiqh or sirah or whatever it may be, the importance of memorizing. By the way, who memorized the two chapters that we just finished studying? Who memorized them? Who memorized one of them? Shame on you. MashaAllah. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَافَعَ. We must memorize. There's no escape from it. Yani young and old. The older people, yani, get some consideration. The young people, no excuse for you. We must memorize. He said that, yani, so that the one who memorizes it will excel amongst his peers. It may assist the beginner student. Yani, the one who's just learning hadith in the beginning, this is helpful to them. And the learned one seeking more knowledge may find it indispensable. This is a very, very important book. Students of knowledge all over the world, in every land, whatever their original language might be, or memorizing this book or the likes of it. And then he says, I have indicated at the end of every hadith the imam who collected it in order to fulfill the trust of the ummah. Okay, meaning the imam who collected it, meaning that he's telling us what is the source. Who collected this hadith? Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasai, Imam Ahmed, Malik. Who collected this hadith? And so that you have a way to go back to it. This is a trust that's being fulfilled here. When you relay something from the sunnah, that you give the people the ability to go back and verify it. And verify it. This is very important. So he has not only collected the hadith, he has mentioned the Sahabi, radiallahu anhu majma'in, who narrated the hadith from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the source where it is collected at. He also mentions the ruling concerning that hadith, if it's not in Bukhari or Muslim usually, and who said that about it. Yani who said that it's Hasan or Da'if or Mursal or Mawquf or whatever. He also mentioned those scholars who made yani these rulings concerning the hadith. And additionally, he doesn't mention here, but he has also, with some of the hadith that he has mentioned other narrations of the hadith which may further clarify some meaning that's not clear in the original hadith, which may give further yani hukum, ahkam, rulings that are not clear in that particular hadith, and so on, like this. So really, he has meticulously collected this. He says, so then he used some terminology here, the Saba and Sitta and Khamsa and Arba and and ثلاثة and متفق عليه. I'm not going to read them to you, but in any case, some of you are familiar with these terminologies who are in our hadith class on Sunday. We studied these terminologies, so you're familiar with them. But everybody should know, when you read a hadith and he says as-sab'a, what does he mean? The seven, who are they? When he says as-sitta, what does he mean? When he says al-arba'a wal-khamsa, and we should know what these terminologies refer to. He said, I have named this book Bulugh Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam. And I pray, and he closed with this statement here, and I pray to Allah not to render what we have learned a calamity against us, but may He guide us to act according to what pleases Him, the Glorified, the Exalted One. Yani, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make what we learn to be against us because we didn't act upon it. Rather, we ask Allah to guide us to act in accordance with this knowledge and to do that which is pleasing to Him. There's much to be said about this. The book that we're going to be reading from, the Arabic text that we're going to be reading from, for those who are following us in Arabic, yani, is a tremendously beneficial book. I'm not going to go into the detail about it, but except to say that it is primarily based upon earlier explanations of Bulugh Maram, like Subul As-Salam by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail As-San'ani. It was a very, very famous explanation of Bulugh Maram. And also Fath al-Alam, the Sharh of Bulugh Maram, which is another yani important explanation of Bulugh Maram by Sadiq Hassan al-Khanuji al-Bukhari, who actually summarized Subul As-Salam and took all of the sayings that As-San'ani mentioned from the people of his land. As-San'ani was from Yemen, and the people of Yemen were mostly Zaydis, yani Shia, different sects of Shia. So he mentioned a lot of the sayings of the Shia in his explanation of this book. So, yani, in Fath al-Alam, yani, Sadiq Hassan al-Bukhari, he has removed those sayings of the Shia, different groups of Shia, whoever they were, Ja'fariya, Hadawiyya, Zaydiyya, whoever. He took out their sayings, and he brought other sayings of the scholars and other benefits, yani, above and beyond. He also used, as a basis for his collection, Tawdi al-Ahkam min Bulugh Maram, which is explanation of one of our great contemporary scholars, Sheikh Abdullah Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, which we quote from him often in our explanations of hadith in our class on Sunday also. The book that we're reading from, yani, is a brief discussion concerning the legal rulings and beneficial points that are derived from the hadith of this chapter of Bulugh Maram. And this book was, yani, authored by a scholar from India, yani, Dr. Muhammad Luqman al-Salafi. May Allah protect and preserve him, from the major scholars of the people of India. And from amongst his achievements that are well known is that he was the founder of Jamiat al-Imam ibn Taymiyyah, and also the founder of a number of magazines, and the author of this book, Tuhfa al-Kiram li-Sharh Bulugh Maram. And from amongst his yani notable yani virtues that we should mention here is that he stuck closely in seeking knowledge, yani, to his teacher, his main teacher, that is Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya, for 38 years. And when I met this the author, yani Sheikh Muhammad Luqman al-Salafi, when I met him in 1995, he was the personal secretary for Sheikh Ibn Baz, who used to travel with him wherever he traveled, and for 38 years, yeah, and he stuck with the Sheikh and benefited from him. And what he has done in this book, in summary, yani, is that he has, yani, taken from the major important explanation of Bulugh Maram, the legal rulings that a student studying these hadith, memorizing them, needs to understand from each hadith. So he has summarized these legal rulings, and sometimes he has clarified the meaning of words that might need explanation. And pretty much, yani, and sometimes mention some other benefits that, yani, go along with each hadith. Before I start reading the hadith, and I know the time is limited, I want to say that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, being a great scholar of hadith, and mentioning the rulings concerning hadith, sometimes, because he didn't limit his collection to the hadith, that are yani well known to be authentic in Bukhari and Muslim, because he has collected from other books, mainly the main yani primary books of hadith like the Sunan al-Arba and Sahihain. But he has also yani mentioned a lot of times that this hadith is yani, for example, mawquf, or it's mursal, or it is yani muttasil, or yani whatever he may have said concerning these type of terminologies. And the person who's not familiar with them needs to yani take some time and try to pay attention when these expressions or when these terminologies are used, and try to understand what they mean. Don't become frustrated if they are new to you. But hopefully, inshallah, yani before we finish these 3 weeks, I'll try to compile some explanations for the terminology that's used in this particular Kitab al-Siyam, so that at least everybody can have something to refer back to if this is new to you. Okay. The first hadith, and the numbering in the hadith in different books is different. The numbering of the hadith in different books is different. If somebody is looking in English, can you tell me what's the number of the first hadith in English? Huh? 527? Okay, good. Okay. So I'm going to refer to two numbers. Yani, the number in English and the number in the book that we're reading from. Okay, so those who are reading Arabic, you know where we are. Those who are reading English know where we are. Hopefully I'll keep the number straight. The numbering system is different by different people, because sometimes, yani, a narration, another narration of the hadith is mentioned and they numbered it, and other people didn't number it. So, yani, it became confusing a little bit. Okay, so the first hadith that we're reading is in English, hadith number 527. And in Arabic it's 629. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقدموا رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصمه. متفق عليه. متفق عليه is well known, I think, to everyone, right? Meaning? Agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not fast a day or 2 days before Ramadan. Yani, intending by it, that maybe tomorrow might be the first of Ramadan, so I'm going to fast. Okay, we're going to come to the hadith that specifically mentions this, but the point is, no one should precede Ramadan by fasting the day or 2 days before it. With the exception of رَجُلٌ كَانَ يَسُومُ سَوْمًا, except the person who used to fast a fast, yani on a certain days, he used to fast on certain days, and it happened that one of those days that he normally fasts on turned out to be the day before Ramadan, or 2 days before Ramadan. Except that person, كَانَ يَسُومُ سَوْمًا فَلْيَسُومُهُ. Then for this one, no harm for him to fast. Otherwise, if we think that it's 1 day before Ramadan, or 2 days before Ramadan, and we shouldn't fast those days thinking that we might catch the first day of Ramadan in case it came before we knew it. Okay, before we discuss the rulings that the Shaykh mentioned from here, he said, شرح كلمات, yani explanation of some words. Siyam, linguistically it means al-imsaq, to refrain, to hold back, to abstain. Sharan, yani in the Sharia, the legal terminology in the Sharia, it means imsaq. مخصوص عن أشياء مخصوصة في زمن معين من شخص مخصوص بنية. And there are a lot of different definitions that scholars have given. In any case, the Shaykh, he says here, refraining, yani a specific refraining, yani meaning refraining from food and drink and marital relations and so on. From things that are particular in a time that is specific, yani specific time, meaning specific, yani time, the time is what? From dawn, not sunrise, from dawn until sunset, yani by a particular person, biniyatin, with a niyyah. Yani this is critical to the definition of the Sharia, meaning of siyam, is that a person has to have a niyyah. I'm going to talk a little bit more about niyyah as we come to the hadith that follows. Also, I want to just add here, some of the scholars said that this Saum of Ramadan, I'm adding this, right? Saum Ramadan is one of the pillars of Islam, one of the five pillars of Islam. And its base or origin of obligation is in the Quran, in the Sunnah, and in Ijma'. And from amongst the ayats of the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 183 and 184, which is well known, and they also hadith in Ijma', that what? That fasting the month of Ramadan is obligatory. That fasting the month of Ramadan is obligatory. As far as the rulings from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions three. Okay, three rulings. The first ruling, well, it's not a ruling from the hadith, but he mentions the point that the fast of Ramadan was made obligatory in the second year of the Hijrah. Yani, the second year after the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina, fasting became obligatory. Before that, it was voluntary. So all the years he was in Mecca, fasting was voluntary. In the second year after the Hijrah, Allah made it obligatory upon the Muslims to fast. Okay, as far as the rulings, point number two, he says, from this hadith we understand that it is yani prohibited to precede Ramadan by fasting a day or two, ala sabil al-ihtiyat, yani as a precaution to not miss a day of Ramadan. This is prohibited. And also we understand from this the permissibility, jawazuhu liman kana lahu ada siyam thumma sadafa dhalika akhir yawm min sha'ban. But it's permissible for the person who used to habitually, yani had the habit of fasting on a certain day, and that day that he normally fasts, yani coincided with the last day of the month of Sha'ban. If it coincided with the last day of the month of Sha'ban, the normal fast that he used to do all the time throughout the year, no harm in fasting. And the third point he mentions, that it's permissible to be said, yani Ramadan, that one may say Ramadan, without connecting to it the word Shahr. Yani you don't have to say Shahr Ramadan. Rather, when you say Ramadan, it's understood that it is the Shahr, the month of Ramadan. One point also that I want to add here, yani Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi said, from this hadith, Al-Amal ala hadha inda ahl al-ilm. Yani what's mentioned in this hadith, that the prohibition of preceding Ramadan with a day or two, fasting the day or two before Ramadan, except for the one who normally used to fast on that particular day, he said, Al-Amal ala hadha inda ahl al-ilm. Yani acting upon this, what's contained in this hadith, is what the scholars have agreed upon. And therefore they disliked fasting before Ramadan by a day or two, except the person who habitually used to fast on that day. Okay, second hadith. Hadith number 528 in English, hadith number 630 in Arabic, on the authority of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, qal, من صام اليوم الذي يشق فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني عمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنه, he said, whoever fasted the day which there is doubt about it, يعني doubt about it being the first day of Ramadan or not, whoever fasts on that day, يعني due to thinking that maybe it could be Ramadan, فقد عصى Abu al-Qasim. This person has disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Qasim. Yani Abu Qasim is the kunya of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar Asqalani says, ذكره البخاري تعليقا. And again, I'm saying this terminology, we're not studying hadith terminology now, but yani just in passing, right? And inshallah I'll try to make some notes, yani to explain some of this terminology. But Al-Hafidh says that al-Bukhari mentions this hadith, but he mentions it ta'liqan, yani mu'allaq, that the hadith is mu'allaq, meaning that Bukhari mentioned it without giving the chain from his side, yani without giving the full chain from his side, yani from who, yani he heard it from and who they heard it from. He didn't give the complete chain, so it's a broken chain, ta'liqan. And generally a broken chain is not accepted, yani because we don't know who the narrators are. Generally, but not in every case. So Bukhari mentioned it like that. وَوَصَلَهُ الْخَمْسَةُ. And the five other yani famous narrators that he refers to as the five, meaning the Kutub al-Sunan, yani the Ashab al-Sunan, that's Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasai, and the fifth of the five, Imam Ahmed, the Musnad Imam Ahmed, the five. Naam. He said they brought it with a complete chain. وَصَلَهُ, yani connected chain, with no break in it. وَصَحَّحَهُ Ibn Khuzaymah وَإِبْنِ Hibban. And these two scholars of hadith, Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban, both of them declared it to be sahih. Sahih meaning what? Authentic, of the highest grade. And who is Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban? Both of them are collectors of hadith, who collected books of authentic hadith. The sahih of Ibn Khuzaymah and the sahih of Ibn Hibban. And we need to know more about all of these scholars. But in any case, they declared it to be sahih. And of the contemporary scholars, Sheikh al-Albani mentioned also, rahimahullah, that is sahih in Irwa al-Ghalil, hadith number 961. As far as the rulings from this hadith, the Sheikh mentions two matters. He says, hurmat al-siyam yawm al-shak, yawm al-thalathin min sha'ban. Yani that is prohibited to fast the day of doubt. Yani we're doubtful يعني about whether or not يعني it is the 30th of Sha'ban or the 1st of Ramadan. He said it's prohibited to fast on this day. Why would we be not sure? يعني the 30th of Sha'ban could be the last of Sha'ban, or the month of Sha'ban could be 29 days. And what we count as 30 might really be the 1st of Ramadan. How will we know if it's Ramadan? By sighting the hilal. But what if it's cloudy and we can't see the sky? Now we're not sure. Is the hilal there but we can't see it? Meaning that it's the 1st of Ramadan. Or it's not there. But we don't know, right? So that's the day of doubt. It's prohibited to fast on this particular day. And the Shaykh mentions another point here. Beautiful point. Very important. مَنْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ بِمَا يُخَالِفُ شَرْعَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَصَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ تُبْتَلُ عِبَادَتُهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني whoever worships Allah with that which is in contradiction to the Sharia of Allah, then this person has disobeyed the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and their ibadah is invalidated. And whoever worships Allah with in a way or in a manner or in an amount or in a type or in a time that's in contradiction to the Sharia of Allah, this person has disobeyed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a result, that act of worship that they have performed is invalid and is useless. Naam. And there are hadith concerning this particular point, yani, but this hadith is a clear indication of that, yani, that whoever does this and they have disobeyed Abu Qasim, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa Raddun. Whoever does a deed that is not in agreement with our affair, yani that which he has brought, the deen of Islam, the Quran and Sunnah, then it is rejected. It's batil, yani it's invalid. So this is important. When people want to worship, like the Nisf Sha'ban, they want to get up in the night and pray all night long, and they want to do other acts of worship that are not from the Sharia, that are not from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He didn't do it. Whatever argument you want to make, no, doesn't matter. He didn't do it. And there's no worship that is accepted to Allah except it's in agreement with what the Prophet ﷺ came with. So whoever does an act of worship that contradicts what he came with is rejected. It's invalid. Just standing all night for nothing. Yani, if you normally pray every night, tahajjud, fine. You can pray it on Nisf Sha'ban. Doesn't matter, right? Because that's what you normally do anyway. But if you single out that particular day, this is unacceptable. Naam. Tayyib. The next hadith. In English, hadith number 529. This is the third hadith? Third hadith. 529, Arabic 631. An ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, idha ra'aytumuhu fasumu, wa idha ra'aytumuhu fa'aftiru. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. And then I'm going to read the rest of the narrations after. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if you see it, then fast. Command, فَسُومُوا, then fast. If you see it, and that's the condition. If you see it, meaning the hilal of the month of Ramadan, then you must fast. Obligatory, that's a command. فَصُومُوا فِي الْعَمْرَ يَقْتَدِي الْوُجُوبِ. And if you see it, then أَفْتِرُوا, then you must break fast. Meaning, if you see what? Which hilal? Shawwal. The hilal of Shawwal, the month after Ramadan. If you see it, that one, then it's obligatory upon you to break fast. To break the fast. He said, so if you see it, meaning the month, the hilal for the month of Ramadan, then you must fast. If you see it, the hilal for the month of Shawwal, then you must break fast. And if it became cloudy, غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ, yani the sky is cloudy, you can't see the new moon coming, فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ, then calculate, meaning count the days. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this narration here, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he brings other wordings that clarify the meaning of what he means by فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ. What does it mean? In the narration of Imam Muslim, he says, فَإِنْ أُغْمِيَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْدُرُوا لَهُ ثَلَاثِينَ. Yani if it became cloudy upon you, then calculate it as 30 days, meaning count, he's talking about. Calculate what? Meaning count the days. Count it, you don't see the new moon, then count that day as 30. That month then has 30 days. And for Bukhari, he brings another narration of Bukhari, فَأَقْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ ثَلَاثِينَ. And in another word, he didn't say here, فَقْدُرُوا, he said, فَأَقْمِلُوا. أَقْمِلُوا means what? Complete الْعِدَّةَ, complete the number as 30 days. Meaning, if you can't see the new moon on the 30th day, or the night of the 30th day, then يعني calculate, consider it as 30. يعني complete the month as 30 days. And then the following day will be the first of Ramadan. The next hadith, which they didn't count in the English book, they didn't count it, so they counted it under 529, but actually in the Arabic book is counted as hadith number 632. وَلَهُ يعني لَهُ here means little Bukhari. He was the last one that he mentioned. وَلَهُ فِي حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةِ فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعَبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ. Yani the Bukhari narrates from the hadith of Abu Hurairah. Yani the hadith that we were reading is from Abdullah ibn Umar. So Bukhari also narrates another narration which clarifies the meaning here. He's bringing this narration to clarify the meaning further. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah, he said, فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعَبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ. Yani in the previous narration of Bukhari, he said what? Complete the number as 30. In this narration, complete the number of Sha'ban as 30. So now, if you look at these various narrations, when you have time to go back and look at them, you see that the meaning becomes crystal clear when looking at the narrations. And this is something that yani we learn yani in the study of Ahkam, is that when before you make a ruling on something, you have to collect the evidences, all of them. Not one hadith and then run for a touchdown. But what are the other narrations? And then they, yani the narrations, one will clarify another, بإذن الله تعالى. Okay, so the Shaykh, he mentions 4 points for this hadith, or for these, yani two hadith, yani 631 and 632, the hadith of Ibn Umar and hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhuma. He says, ما يستفاد من الحديثين. What do we benefit from these two hadith? Number one, the obligation of fasting Ramadan. Yani how do we get the obligation of fasting Ramadan? Yani إذا رأيتموه فصوموا. Sumu, that's a command. That means it's obligatory to fast the month of Ramadan. And that is, though, إِذَا ثَبَتَتْ رُؤْيَةِ الْحِلَالِهِ, that it becomes obligatory if it is confirmed, the sighting of the hilal, or if 30 days pass from Sha'ban. And if we didn't see a hilal, but we counted 30 days of Sha'ban, then it became obligatory. And also it is obligatory to break the fast with the confirmation of the Hilal of Shawwal, or the completion of Ramadan as 30 days. So in this hadith we have what? The obligation of fasting and the obligation of breaking the fast in one narration. Point number two, he says, رؤية الهلال هي المستند الشرعي لأحكام الصيام والإفطار فلا يعتمد على الحساب مطلقا. This is a debated issue. يعني the Shaykh, he's saying here, this is what the scholars of the Sunnah yani have agreed upon. Yani this is what he's, yani the essence that he came from the explanations of this yani book, Bulugh al-Maram, by other scholars before him. They agreed that what? That seeing, sighting the new moon, the hilal, is what is the sharia yani base that we depend upon for legal rulings of fasting and breaking the fast. Therefore we should not rely upon al-hisab. Mutlaqan. We should not rely upon what? Calculations. The people, the astronomers calculated that the new moon is guaranteed to be on this particular day. Khalas. We don't need to look for it. No, we don't depend on calculations. But rather, sighting the hilal is what we depend upon. And if we don't sight it, then we count 30 days. And this is a long discussion. We're not here to talk about it tonight. But just to say what? We should not rely upon calculations. The Prophet ﷺ said, "My ummah is a ummi nation. We don't read and write. So we don't know about all these calculations and stuff." Meaning there may be some amongst us who do, but the masses of people don't. And the religion is for the masses of people. Everybody should be able to look in the sky and see the halal. Everybody can't use these astronomical calculations that they have. So we are ummi nation. Therefore, this is how Allah has legislated for us to look up in the sky. Everybody can look. And if they're not blind, may Allah save us from that. Fitna, trial. Point number three says, it is a condition for the sighting. لا يشترط. رؤيه الجميع بالاجماع. يعني it is not a condition that all of the people in the land have to see the hilal. That's not a condition. And this point, he said, that it's not a condition, is agreed upon by ijma, by consensus of the Muslim scholars, that it's not a condition that everybody has to see it. Okay? بل يكفي إخبار الواحد العدل أو الاثنين على الخلاف في ذلك. Okay, the Shaykh here, listen carefully what he's saying. Rather, everyone doesn't have to see it. Rather, it is sufficient the information that came from one trustworthy person. يعني الواحد العدل, one trustworthy person, or two, على الخلاف في ذلك. يعني the Shaykh is saying here what? That the scholars differed. Is it one that's sufficient or two? Some scholars said two, and majority of scholars said one, and that's what is correct. That is sufficient. One trustworthy person saw the hilal, that's sufficient. But there is, the Shaykh is doing what? He's letting us know, okay, but there is some difference of opinion. Okay, we're not trying to hide that some scholars have a different opinion, but let's make note of it, that there is a difference of opinion. However, what is more correct is that one is sufficient. Point number four. The sighting for every land requires, necessitates, makes it obligatory upon all of the people of that land. Meaning, if it's sighted in any particular land, in any country or region, it's obligatory on all the people in that region. And here, the suggestion is what? That it's not obligatory on the people in other regions, in other lands. But it is obligatory on the people in that land, for sure. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that since the rising and setting of the, yani the sun and the moon, is different in different lands, wherever the lands are in agreement on that, it's obligatory on everybody where it's in agreement. Yani that they have the same rising and setting. But the people who are outside of that, then it's not obligatory upon them. Yani to accept the sighting of somebody else. Again, this is a point of great difference of opinion. Yani it has to be a local sighting or international sighting. The best opinion of the scholars concerning this is as Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and some of the scholars, major scholars said that the scholars in a land should meet and discuss the issue, and whatever they agree upon, to local sighting or international sighting, the people should follow their scholars. I hope you understand. Now, because there's fitna in this. But if the scholars meet and they discuss it and they come to agreement, that will go on one of these opinions, and both of them are acceptable, really. Even if one is more correct than the other. And we don't need to say which one is more correct. But even if one is more correct, if the scholar, since they differed about it, if the scholars in a land come together and they agree, then the people should follow their scholars. Hadith number 530 in English, 633 in Arabic. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال تراءى الناس الهلال فأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أني رأيته فصام صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمر الناس بصيامه. يعني رواه أبو داود وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم. يعني this hadith is narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with both of them. He said the people tara'a al-hilal, they were searching, looking, trying to see the hilal on the first night that they expected it could appear. The people were searching, looking, trying to see the new moon. So I informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I actually saw it. One person, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said I informed the Prophet that I saw it. So what did the Prophet do? The Prophet fasted and he ordered the people to fast. The Prophet fasted and he himself ordered the people to fast based on the sighting of Abdul ibn Umar, one trustworthy yani person. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and it was declared to be sahih, authentic, by Al-Imam Ibn Hibban and Al-Imam Al-Hakim rahimahumullah. Yani Ibn Hibban, we said his book is what? The sahih of Ibn Hibban. Al-Hakim, his book is what? Al-Mustadrak, Al-Mustadrak of Al-Hakim. And this is a very important book also. We don't have time to discuss it, but we need to know some of these scholars, who they are and what the work that they have done. And from the contemporary scholars, Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, also declared this hadith to be sahih in Irwa al-Ghalil, hadith number 908. Yani before we look at the next hadith, I just want to mention that in this hadith is an indication of the point what? That the information that comes from one trustworthy person related to fasting is acceptable. Okay, in this hadith. But the second hadith is coupled to it, and the Shaykh mentions the rulings from both of them together. Hadith number 531, or in Arabic 634, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, يعني Abdullah ibn Abbas, the son of Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رضي الله عنهما اجمعين. He said, أَنَّ عَرَبِيًّا جَاءَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ الْحِلَالِ. يعني a Bedouin, man from the desert, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, I have seen the hilal, for the new month, يعني the new moon. He said, I saw it. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? فَقَالَ أَتَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Do you bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except Allah? Okay, look how the Prophet, a Bedouin came to him. But he questioned him. Yani, do you bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah? Why is that? Can we accept this sighting of the moon from anybody? No. Yani, we said a trustworthy person, that from, yani, the characteristics for a person to be qualified as trustworthy, they have to be a Muslim. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him first, do you bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah? He said, Na'am, yes. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-tashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Do you bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, yes. قَالَ فَأَذِّنْ, يعني the narrator said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ يَا بِلَال. The Prophet said to Bilal, O Bilal, أَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ, يعني announce to the people, يعني that the moon has been sighted and the month begins. Announce to the people, أَنْ يَصُومُوا غَدًا. Announce to the people that they should be fasting tomorrow. This hadith, the Al-Hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani says, Rahu al-Khamsatu. Al-Khamsatu meaning again, the four books of Sunan. Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i. And the fifth again, Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, Rahimahumullah. These five narrated it, but then the Shaykh says, Wasahaha ibn Khuzaymah wa ibn Hibban. And then there were scholars who not only narrated it, but declared it to be Sahih. Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban in their two books of Sahih. Then Al-Hafiz says, but there's difference of opinion about this hadith. Okay? Look at the information he's given us in brevity here. He says, وَرَجَّحَ النَّسَائِيُّ إِرْسَالَهُ. But Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, one of the great scholars of hadith, he considered to be the stronger opinion that this hadith is mursal. It's mursal. Hadith is mursal. What do we mean by mursal?
A tabi narrating
without mentioning the companion that he heard it from. Mursal, yani the person who heard it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not mentioned in the chain. The person he heard it from could be a sahabi, in which case it would be acceptable, right? Because all the sahabi are acceptable. But maybe the person he heard it from could be another tabi who heard it from somebody else who heard it from sahabi or whatever, but we don't know. So therefore the hadith would be considered to be weak if it's mursal. And from the contemporary scholars, Shaykh al-Albani, da'afahu al-Albani, and he considered it to be da'if. He agreed with the opinion of al-Nasa'i in al-Irwa, yani al-Ghalil, hadith number 907. In any case, this hadith, there's difference of opinion about it. Right, the five, they narrated it. Ibn Hibban and Ibn Khuzaymah declared it to be sahih, and then other scholars have a different view concerning it. The Shaykh mentions from this hadith and the previous hadith, the hadith of Ibn Abbas here and the previous one of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with both of them or all of them, and he mentions five points. The first point, the permissibility of sufficing with the witness or the testimony of one just, one trustworthy witness concerning the beginning, the entry of Ramadan. And this is the opinion, he said, indal akthar. Yani, in other words, when he said indal akthar, that means most of the scholars held this opinion, which also you can understand from that what? That there are some scholars who don't agree. Okay? When he said indal akthar, it means they're the majority. But that means that we have to be careful here. There are some scholars, even they're the minority, but they don't agree. Okay? So when he said indal akthar, that's a key for us to pay attention to. When he says that, he's alerting us to the fact that even though the majority hold this view, it's not unanimous. Yani, that is sufficient, the testimony of one trustworthy person for the beginning of Ramadan. وَقِيلَ لَابُدَّ مِنْ اثنين. And here he says clearly, and there's another opinion, they said, no, there must be at least two just, trustworthy witnesses. Point number two, al-imam aw na'ibuhu huwa alladhi yatawalla al-i'lan bis-siyam. Yani it is the imam, meaning the leader of the Muslim, the leader of the Muslim land, or his assistant, whoever he appoints, is the one who takes the responsibility of announcing the beginning of the fast. Not everybody can just say on their own, okay, everybody got to fast tomorrow. No, it's for the leader, whoever he, and whoever is sitting in his place, his substitute. Number three, istihbab, that it is mustahab, it is commendable, praiseworthy, loved by Allah, that tara al-hilal, yani that the hilal be searched for, the people go out on the, yani the night of the 30th of Sha'ban, the night before the 30th, yani that they go out and start looking, yani trying to see the hilal, and this is due to what, yani is based upon this sighting of ahkam al-sha'ir al-hama, yani the important the legal rulings related to important, yani symbols in Islam, yani related to fasting and breaking the fast and so on, yani because these are important matters, the legal rulings concerning them are based upon sighting. So therefore, it's mustahab. We are encouraged to go out and look. Except that we have to know where to look and when to look. Because some people, they're looking in the wrong part of the sky, in the other direction, so they don't see anything. It might be right there, but they're looking the wrong way. Or they're looking at the wrong time. Yani the hilal comes out, right, on the first day of the month, yani after the sunset. Immediately. The person might come out 15, 20 minutes later, it's already gone. And so on. Point number four. اشتراط الإسلام والعدالة في رأي الحلال حتى يقبل خبره. That it is a condition for the acceptability of a person's يعني testimony that they saw the moon. It's a condition, يعني Islam and العدالة, that they have to be a Muslim and they have to be trustworthy. يعني this is for what? The one who claims that he saw the hilal, in order for his testimony to be, or his khabar, his information to be accepted, there's conditions. It has to be Islam and adala, Islam and trustworthiness. And the fifth point, إِنَّ الْإِقْرَارِ بِالشَّهَادَتَيْنِ يَكْفِي فِي ثُبُوتْ الْإِيمَانِ الْمُطْلَقِ وَمُطْلَقَ الْإِيمَانِ. يعني the fifth point, the Shaykh, he says that al-iqrar, يعني acknowledgement of the two testimonies of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is sufficient to confirm a person's iman, that they are actually a Muslim. Yani even if, yani whatever the level of their iman is, but the base iman, and if a person bears witness to these two things, then we accept them as a Muslim. Hadith number 532 in English, 635 in Arabic. How much time we have? It's time for the adhan, right? We're going to take a few minutes after the adhan and try to do a few more of these hadith, whatever we can. So who knows what time is the iqamah? 9:30? Okay, good. We're going to take a few minutes, inshallah. Anyway, the next hadith, 532 in English, 635 in Arabic, is from An Hafsata Umul Mu'minina radiallahu anha, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Man lam yubayyitil siyama qabla al fajri fala siyama lahu. يعني حفصة يعني the mother of the believers, يعني why is she أم المؤمنين, wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We'll just take a couple more hadith, but let me just say before we return, يعني it's very important that we try to take in يعني these affairs and understand them well, and know that يعني we're just summarizing some of the legal rulings related to fasting, and specifically the fast of Ramadan. We're just summarizing them. And it is incumbent upon the serious student to go back and to the detail books and read these issues in detail. And it's not sufficient. This summary is just for a student who's beginning to know, to have some idea what are the legal rulings. And just for the common person to know what are the legal rulings. But for the student of knowledge, it's incumbent upon us to go back to the comprehensive books and research these issues in detail. طيب, the hadith of Hafsa, Umm al-Mu'mineen, رضي الله عنها. Yani who was Hafsa? Wife of the Prophet? Daughter of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Naam. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man lam yubayyit as-siyam qabla al-fajr fala siyama lahu. Whoever doesn't make intention, the intention for fasting, yani qabla al-fajr, yani at some point during the night, before the break of dawn, fala siyama lahu. فَلَا سِيَامَ يعني this is la and nahiya للجنس. There's absolutely no fast for this person. They have no fast. خلاص. Whoever doesn't make intention, and then we'll see from the next hadith that this يعني ruling or this statement is in reference to the obligatory fast, to an obligatory fast. Whoever doesn't make intention before the dawn, فَلَا سِيَامَ لَهُ رَوَاهُ الْخَمْسَةُ narrated by the four Kutub al-Sunan, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nisa'i, and Ahmed. وَمَالَ التِّرْمِذِي وَالنَّسَائِي إِلَى تَرْجِيحِ وَقْفِهِ. And التِّرْمِذِي from the four, and النَّسَائِي from the four Ashab al-Sunan, the books of Sunnah, those two were inclined toward the opinion that the tarjih, the stronger view concerning this hadith is waqfi. يعني waqf, that it is mawquf. Mawquf. Mawquf meaning what? Huh? Not a broken chain. That the statement is attributed to a Sahabi, not attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mawquf means that it stopped. Waqf, it stopped at the Sahabi. It didn't go, the chain doesn't, it's not attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the opinion of At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i is tarjih waqfihi. That they consider the stronger view, yani there's difference of opinion, right? When they say tarjih, that means there's difference of opinion. But they're saying the stronger view is that it's mawquf, as opposed to the other view that it is marfu'un, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So that means that some of the scholars are saying this is really a statement of Sahaba, not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But other scholars said no, it's attributed to the Prophet. And from amongst those who said that it's attributed to the Prophet and that it's sahih, was sahahahu marfu'an. Marfu'an, not mawquf. But they declared it to be sahih as a marfu hadith. Marfu means that rafa is raised up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attributed to the Prophet. From those who said it's sahih marfu'an is Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban. And from the contemporary scholars, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih in Irwa al-Ghalil, hadith number 914. Here al-Hafiz mentions another hadith to support the meaning of this hadith, that which is reported by Ad-Darqutni. And Ad-Darqutni, al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, is a great scholar of hadith, one of the most important, highest level of scholars that dealt with ilal al-hadith, yani the hidden defects in hadith. He's one of the scholars, one of the few scholars who are expert in identifying hidden defects in a hadith. And not many scholars are expert in this field, not many at all. But he was one of the best of them, al-Imam al-Darqutni, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. In his narration he said, la siyama, there's absolutely no fast, liman lam yafridhu min al-layl, yani from the one who didn't make the intention to perform it from the night, yani before the break of dawn. The Shaykh says concerning this hadith, yani 2 points. Number one, that fasting la budda lahu min niyyah, must have intention, and also it's obligatory for the fast that's wajib, as sawm al-wajib and yanwiya bil-layl, yani here he distinguished here, right, that this ruling and this hadith is in reference to the obligatory fast, that you must have intention and you must make the intention during the night, meaning before the break of dawn, before Fajr. Secondly, he says the permissibility of the making intention for fasting Ramadan, the whole of it, marra wahida, yani make an intention one time for the whole month of Ramadan, beginning of Ramadan, make intention to fast the whole month. Wa adam wujud tajdid an-niyyah kulla yawmin, and that it is not obligatory to renew your intention every day. And this also requires some discussion, but this is the correct opinion, that if a person intends to fast the whole month of Ramadan and they don't break, meaning they don't miss a day or two or three because they were traveling or sick or something, in that case, yes, they have to renew the intention. But if a person makes the intention to fast the whole month and they fast every day, they don't have to renew the intention every night. And yani this is yani the stronger opinion, wallahu alam, yani that a person can make the intention for the whole month and they don't have to renew it every night. And this is the opinion, this is the madhab of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and it is also the chosen opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and it is in one narration also the opinion of al-Imam Ahmed, yani that fasting, making the intention to fast the whole month at one time is sufficient. Okay, this is the opinion of who? Al-Imam Malik. And it's also one of the views that's narrated from Imam Ahmed, and it's the choice from amongst the various opinions of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. That's what he said is the stronger opinion, wallahu a'lam. Naam. And then we'll just take maybe just one more hadith related to this same topic, but that distinguishes the necessity or the obligation of making an intention, yani that is for the obligatory fast and not for the voluntary fast. So we'll stop with this hadith, the hadith number 533 in English, 636 in Arabic. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت دخل علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم فقال هل عندكم شيء قلنا لا قال فإني إذن صائم ثم أتانا يوما آخر فقلنا أحدي لنا حيث فقال أرنيه فلقد أصبحت صائما فأكل رواه مسلم. And Aisha رضي الله عنها, she narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came upon her, came to her, دخل عليها, he came to visit her, يعني that day. And he said, do you have anything? Meaning anything to eat. We said, no, we have nothing. He said, فإني إذن صائم. In that case, I'm going to fast. Yani the day had already began. He came to eat, but there was nothing. He hadn't eaten anything yet, so in that case, I'll fast. There's nothing here to eat. In that case, I'll fast. Now, then she said, he came to yani another day. He came to us on another day, and we said, we have been given a gift of some hais, yani some mixture of dates and yani sun-baked cottage cheese and ghee and stuff, yani some mixture that they used to make. And the Prophet ﷺ said, let me see it. And he didn't move quickly, right? He said, let me see it first. If it's like something that I want. فَلَقَدْ أَصْبَحْتُ صَائِمًا. Yani because right now, yani I got up in the morning as a fasting person, voluntary fast. So let me see it. If it looks good, then we'll see. But if not, I'll continue fasting. She said, he said that. And then, after seeing it, he ate. He broke his fast. This is reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Okay, the Shaykh, he tells us that hais, this is some type of food that they used to make from dates and aqid, and some, they used to mix it together. Some mix of something. I've never seen it. Allahu A'lam. How about you, Sali? You don't know it? Yeah. I'll help here. Anybody else know about Arabic food? Sali grew up in the Arab land, so he knows, but I didn't see it myself. In any case, from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions two points. Number one, sihat tusawm tatawwu', that the person who's making a voluntary fast, the fast is valid, even if they make their niyyah during the course of the day. Yani meaning after fajr. During the course of the day, they can make the intention, the fast is valid. As long as they haven't done anything that invalidated fasting. As long as they haven't done anything before that, then invalidates fasting, they can make the niyyah during the day. Second point, he said that it is not obligatory to complete a voluntary fast. Yani the Prophet ﷺ had woke up fasting, but when he found something to eat, he decided to break his fast. So it's not obligatory to complete a voluntary fast. Rather, it is permissible to cut it off. Except that completing it is better. And if a person made intention to fast, it's better to complete it, but it's not obligatory. Now, we're going to stop here. At hadith number 533 in English and 636 in Arabic. And again, I remind myself and each of us of the importance of reviewing any of these hadith and reviewing the rulings that they contain, and whoever is able should go back and try the best they can to look at some of the more detailed books. And try to study some of these issues in a greater detail. Any question about what we talked about tonight? Any question about what was mentioned tonight? Or any correction from something that we may have said mistakenly? Hey, Ramadan is in front of us, it's very near. My dear brothers and sisters, if Allah bless us to see Ramadan, every day we're hearing about somebody passed away. In the past few months, several people that I know personally passed away. And most of them were older people, so alhamdulillah, yani if we already reached 60 or 70, we have to end anyway, right? So alhamdulillah, if we died upon Islam, that's not bad, that's not sad, that's not yani unfortunate. If a person died upon Islam, alhamdulillah, because the people who are still living, we're not guaranteed to die upon Islam. So those people who died upon Islam, alhamdulillah, we wish that we were them, that we had died upon Islam. May Allah protect us and preserve us and keep us firm upon His yani path and upon obedience to Him, upon His deen, upon the sunnah. And whatever time we have remaining, let's take advantage of it, especially in these days right now in this month. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast more in this month than any other month except Ramadan. Whoever is able to fast, it is good as a preparation for Ramadan, so that the first day of Ramadan, the first two or three days, you're not suffering because we didn't fast since last Ramadan. Rather fast some days now, so when Ramadan comes, it's easy. It's easy. Naam. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And also we want to make dua for the people. I want to say brothers, but I don't know if it's brothers or sisters. Could be brothers and sisters, right? We don't assume anything. The people who copy this in Arabic and English for us, free. And they always copy the books for us so that we can give them free. And then people are benefiting from this. And whoever is able to join in that, copying something to give to the people of knowledge free, then don't let them keep all of the blessings. Yani, get some of it for yourself. Get some of it for yourself. This is a good thing that you spread knowledge. May Allah reward them generously. Amen. May Allah accept from them and from us our good deeds. And help us to be conscious of what we are doing every day, so that we're doing it, consciously doing it, in accordance with the sunnah. And consciously doing it purely for the sake of Allah alone. So that it will be acceptable to Allah. And that we will be rewarded and we will not be wasting our time. When Ramadan comes, people are standing in the night every night. And people are fasting every day, and people are reading Quran like they never do the rest of the year. And we hope that they're doing it consciously, being aware that this is the sunnah of the Prophet, and it's purely for the sake of Allah. Otherwise, if it's just tradition in our land, that's how we do it. We go to the masjid in Ramadan, and we read Quran in Ramadan. Maybe it will be nothing for it. May Allah save us from that.